The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is Thursday, August 22nd. What to know today about another new immigration rule impacting families, and why President Trump just changed his mind about those tax cuts. Plus, a new type of wristband for people with autism, a viral Instagram hoax, and a surprising and controversial member of the new Dancing with the Stars cast. Then hang out after the news for Thing to Know Thursday's bonus interview. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in less than 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. It's President Trump's latest effort to toughen immigration laws. This time, he wants to change the rules on how long migrant families can be held in detention centers. NBC News reports if families cross the border illegally, the new rule would keep them in custody indefinitely. They would not be released until their legal cases are complete. And because these court proceedings can take a while, migrants could be held for several months or longer. That's pretty different from the current rule. Right now, migrant children who are with their parents can only be held for 20 days at most. Then they must be released and are told to come back on their court date. The Wall Street Journal says President Trump hopes changing that rule will deter parents from making the trek to the U.S. border with their children. But critics say children should not be used as a pawn. In fact, immigration rights advocates are expected to fight this new rule in court, which could mean it gets put on pause at least until a judge's ruling. But for now, the new rule could go into effect in a couple of months. The federal deficit is growing and fast. A new report from the Congressional Budget Office says it's supposed to hit $1 trillion next year, which basically means the government is spending that much more than it's bringing in from sources like taxes. So why is the budget so lopsided? One reason is the new budget deal that Congress and the president agreed on. That deal upped funding limits and added more money for things like disaster relief and the military. And it's also because of the 2017 tax cuts, which led to less money coming into the government. The AP reports the federal debt will rise even higher over the next decade and beyond. And experts say the only way to stop it is to, of course, increase taxes or cut spending. A senior White House advisor said they're always concerned with the deficit, but they need to fund a lot of important projects and programs. And speaking of money, President Trump has apparently changed his mind about cutting payroll and capital gains taxes, just a day after telling reporters he was looking into both. The Washington Post says he is no longer thinking about it. He simply says we don't need to since the economy is strong. That said, Trump is still pressuring the Federal Reserve to cut interest rates. Massive wildfires are burning around the world right now, like in the Amazon rainforest, which is the world's largest tropical forest. The New York Times reports that area has seen 74,000 fires this year. Researchers say that's an 84% increase from the same time last year. The fires were mostly set by farmers clearing their land and mostly burning in uninhabited areas of the rainforest. But the BBC says that smoke is traveling far and reached Brazil's largest city. Some even say it's caused darkness as smoke covers the sky, but researchers are still working to figure out if it's really connected. Then in Siberia, more fires. Vox says 21,000 square miles of forest have caught fire this month, and it could potentially be Russia's worst year on record for wildfires. And a fire in the Canary Islands in Spain has forced thousands of people to evacuate, and fires have also impacted Alaska and Greenland. It's being called a scientific breakthrough. Experts in Florida may have found a way to stop coral reefs from going extinct. CNN says coral reefs at the Florida Aquarium in Tampa reproduced in a lab setting for the first time ever. Something like this has not been seen before for coral from the Atlantic, and experts even doubted it was possible. Now it could be a big deal for what's known as America's Barrier Reef, the third largest coral reef in the world, right off the coast of the Florida Keys. All right, we still have much more news coming up, but let's take a quick break to thank this week's sponsor, MM LaFleur. This is a company that is all about clothing that will help make your life easier. So if you don't have a lot of time, you can scratch the dry cleaners and the tailor off your list. MM LaFleur offers machine washable fabrics, adjustable hems, deep pockets, and travelers, you'll like this one, suits that are designed to be packable. And each item is meant to help you wear it several different ways. The high-waisted black skirt they sent me looks great with so many different tops. So whether you need an everyday work outfit or something specific for a business trip coming up, check out MM LaFleur. And right now, new customers can get $25 toward the first purchase with the code NEWSWORTHY. Just visit mmlafleur.com/newsworthy for more details and to redeem this gift. That's mmlafleur.com/newsworthy. And you can find that link in today's show notes. Now back to the news. The International Space Station has a new parking spot, kind of. Two astronauts successfully added a new docking port yesterday, which is basically a place for another spacecraft to park. Space.com says it took astronauts about 6.5 hours to install that docking port. It'll be used by companies like SpaceX and Boeing when they start sending astronauts into orbit later this year or next year. This is the station's second docking port for commercial spacecraft. The first was attached 3 years ago. Researchers are working on a wristband that predicts aggressive outbursts in people with autism. Engadget says it monitors heart rate, sweat production, skin surface temperature, and arm movements. And with that, the device can predict outbursts 60 seconds before they happen, and it's apparently 84% accurate. While 1 minute doesn't seem like a lot of time, it could give people a chance to relax the person wearing the wristband and make sure everyone is safe. More testing needs to be done, but experts say it's promising. There's an Instagram hoax going around that even celebrities and politicians are falling for. The hoax says Instagram is going to access every photo you've ever uploaded, even deleted ones, and then use them against you in court. To keep that from happening, it says you need to repost a message to your Instagram to say you don't give permission in order to block Instagram from using your pictures. Well, it's not true, and you don't need to post that message. But The Verge says lots of people are falling for it, even some of the rich and famous, including Usher, Julia Roberts, and the U.S. Secretary of Energy. The same viral hoax has been a thing in the past in 2012, but again, Instagram confirms both are fake. It's official. The XFL announced its team names and logos. Remember, the XFL is an alternative to the NFL, meant to be professional football that is faster and have, quote, no gimmicks. So now ESPN says the eight teams include the Dallas Renegades, Los Angeles Wildcats, New York Guardians, Seattle Dragons, and more. The XFL also recently signed its first player, former NFL quarterback Landry Jones. The league will hold a player draft in October to fill the rest of the roster. This is actually the XFL's second go at this. The same owner tried launching the league in 2001, but it only lasted a season. Organizers hope this year will be more successful. Games start in February 2020, 1 week after the NFL's Super Bowl. By the way, CNN says another league started this year called the Alliance of American Football, but it only lasted one season, then filed for bankruptcy. The top paid actor in the world right now is Dwayne The Rock Johnson, at least according to Forbes' top 10 paid actors list. Johnson made $89 million within 1 year's time. Forbes says he made a lot of it from the Jumanji movies and the show Ballers, plus he gets money from his Under Armour line. Chris Hemsworth, Robert Downey Jr., Akshay Kumar, and Jackie Chan capped off the top five. And in other entertainment news, we now know who will be on the next season of Dancing with the Stars. Probably the most unexpected, President Trump's former press secretary, Sean Spicer. Inside Edition says the show's host did not seem too happy about having someone political in there. The list also includes The Bachelorette's Hannah Brown, country star Lauren Elena, NFL legend Ray Lewis, former NBA star Lamar Odom, Supremes legend Mary Wilson, and more. Season 28 of Dancing with the Stars starts next month on ABC. And that's it for the main news today, but it's now time for Thing to Know Thursday, where a different expert explains a different thing to know, only on Thursdays after the news. Today, we're talking about so-called superbugs, organisms that make us sick but are tough to treat because they're drug-resistant. It's a growing problem that the World Health Organization said this year could become more deadly than cancer by 2050 if nothing is done. So today, Dr. Erica Shenoy is here to break down what are superbugs, why they're becoming more of a problem, and most importantly, what we can all do to help prevent them. Dr. Shenoy is an infectious disease physician at Massachusetts General Hospital and an assistant professor of medicine at Harvard Medical School. And just a note, it does sound like we're on the phone and you hear a little bit of background noise because she spoke to me from the hospital. So here's our conversation about superbugs. Hi, Dr. Shenoy. Thanks so much for coming on the Newsworthy.
Happy to be here.
So most people have probably at least heard of the term superbugs, but can you explain what it is and why it's becoming more of a concern now?
Most organisms that are kind of in the category of superbugs will have developed resistance to multiple different antibiotics. So your first line antibiotic that you might try might not work, even a second line. And then we get into the point where we're taking antibiotics off the shelf that have really, have a lot of toxicity or we don't use very frequently in order to treat infections. That's when you're in the superbug territory.
And just explain why this is a concern. I mean, not only can you not get rid of the infection itself, but then antibiotics are not necessarily easy on your body, right?
Yeah, it's a couple things. So first, treatment of infections, like you say, it can make treating infections very, very difficult. If you're resorting to some of the more powerful antibiotics, they also have potential side effects. But there's also, outside of just treating infections, we use a lot of antibiotics to prevent infections. One of your listeners, if they're thinking about elective surgery, if they're getting a joint replacement or having cardiac surgery, we're often using kind of frontline, first line antibiotics to prevent infections from developing. Now, if the superbugs or these organisms become more and more common, it could make what are normal elective surgeries potentially more risky for patients.
And there have been a couple of reports this year, both from the UN and the CDC, that warn about superbugs becoming more of a problem. What do those tell us?
Yeah, so the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control here in the United States, estimates that there are about 2 million infections each year in the United States that are caused by antimicrobial resistant organisms or superbugs, and about 23,000 associated deaths. And the recent UN report is estimating that in the next couple of decades, the deaths related to antimicrobial resistance will exceed those of diseases like cancer and diabetes.
Why now? Why do you think it's becoming more of an issue now?
Well, some of these resistance genes or mechanisms have been around for a very, very long time. I think there's a couple of trends that have brought them to the fore. I think one is the increasing amount of travel. And I think also, people are living longer. As you live longer, you can become more susceptible to developing an infection once exposed to one of these organisms.
So we always like to talk about not just the problems, but also possible solutions, or at least who is working on possible solutions. So what is being done to at least try and address this issue right now?
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of progress here, and a lot of it. One of the important parts of the attention that's focused on it is that people, patients, physicians, others become more aware of it, and there's many steps that can be taken along the way. So the way I like to think about this is from the perspective of, for example, the patient. So what could patients possibly do to think about combating antimicrobial resistance? And one part of this is prevention, which is good hand hygiene. When you're in the hospital, patients should feel very comfortable talking to their doctors and asking them if they're being prescribed antibiotics, why do I need the antibiotics? Do I need the antibiotics? Despite all the focus, we know even in the most recent reports that about 30% of all antibiotics are not necessary. So there's a lot that can be done from the patient perspective and from the physician perspective, the prescribing perspective, about reducing exposure to antibiotics. Every time you take an antibiotic, even if it's necessary, which we know, a good proportion of them are, they do select out or can lead to antimicrobial resistance developing. So it's really important only to take them when you need them, take them as prescribed, and not to, save antibiotics or use them when you've not been directed to by a physician. So healthcare facilities are really working very hard around stewardship, which is the term we use to describe using antibiotics appropriately. And then just thinking even larger on this is the government side. So there's a lot of research being funded by the U.S. government and other governments. There's a lot of work recently on trying to figure out what's the right way to incentivize the private industry to develop the kinds of antibiotics that we need.
And you can read more about our guest and this topic in today's show notes. Just go to thenewsworthy.com, click episodes, and look for today's date. That's also where you'll find all the sources and links to stories we've talked about in this episode. Thank you so much for listening. The Newsworthy is here for you by 4 a.m. every weekday, so we'll chat again tomorrow. Have a great day.